Good morning. This is Kate Olson from the Cass County Office of Iowa State University Extension and Outreach with your Extension Report on this Wednesday morning. Well, you may have noticed a lot of our bulbs flowering this spring are coming through and doing quite well. If you have daffodils in your yard and you're wondering how to take care of them or maybe why they don't look the way they used to, we have a few pointers from you from the horticulture experts at Iowa State University. If your daffodils produced foliage this spring but did not bloom, there may be a few couple reasons for that. Of course, if they were going to produce blooms this year, they probably would have by now. Many of the daffodils around the area have been in bloom for several weeks. If they are not blooming this year, or yours aren't, the plants maybe were not able enough to store enough food in their bulbs the previous year. The foliage typically lasts about 4 to 6 weeks after blooming, and during this period, the daffodil foliage is manufacturing food. Much of the food is transported down to the bulbs. In order to bloom, they must store adequate levels of food in their bulbs once they're done blooming every year. If it was cut off too early last year, or cut off before it has died back naturally, this may prevent the plants from storing adequate food in the bulbs and being able to produce flowers the next year. So what you want to do is allow the daffodil foliage to die back completely before you remove it from the plant. Plants in partial shade in May and June may not be able to store enough food in the bulbs because of insufficient sunlight as well. If you have daffodils growing in partial shade, when the foliage has died back, you can go ahead and dig those up and plant them in a location that receives at least 6 hours of direct sun per day. If you make sure your daffodils are given good care and have favorable growing conditions, these weak or non-blooming daffodils can be encouraged to flower again. By the same token, some folks do tie or braid their daffodils after they're done blooming, just to make sure that they're not quite so floppy and unruly. However, this is not recommended, again, for the same reason. It's best to leave that foliage alone, not tie or braid the leaves, again, because you want it to allow it to manufacture the food for the plant so it will bloom the next year. Tying the leaves together with rubber bands or braiding the foliage will reduce the leaf area that's exposed to sunlight, and as a result, the leaves will manufacture smaller amounts of food. Tying and braiding the foliage is also a time-consuming chore, of course, but primarily you want to make sure that that leaf surface stays exposed for the maximum amount of time so that your daffodil blooms will come back in all their full blooming the next year. If you do want to remove your daffodil foliage, again, remember to remove it after it has turned brown and died. The length of time it will take to do this will depend on the type of bulb you have, weather, and other factors. Daffodil foliage usually doesn't die back until late June or early July. And again, during this time before it dies back, it is performing a vital function, so make sure you leave it standing in the garden. And once it has turned brown, it can be cut off at the ground level and discarded. If you're wanting to move the daffodil bulbs themselves, you can also dig them up and replant them as soon as the foliage dies back in the early summer. Daffodils can be dug up and replanted in October, in the fall, as well. If you would like to move the daffodil bulbs in the fall, make sure you want to mark the site where the foliage is present in the spring so you can find them again in October. And again, if you're moving them, make sure you're moving them to a spot that is well-drained and receives at least 6 hours of sunlight every day. If you want to learn more about how to divide perennials, the ISU Extension Horticulture publication, When to Divide Perennials, has just recently been updated by our horticulture specialists. The three reasons that folks normally divide perennials would be to control their size, rejuvenate plants that are starting to die out and crowd themselves out, or to propagate a perennial that folks love and want to share with others, or continue to spread throughout their yard. Some perennials do grow so rapidly that they crowd out neighboring plants in the flower bed or decline if not properly divided. This publication will help gardeners divide perennials at the proper time of year for the best results. There are about 30 to 40 different types of perennials, bulb perennials, that are listed in this publication with the proper dividing times and methods for each. And again, you can find that by either stopping by our office or checking the Iowa State University Extension online store for the Best Time to Divide Perennials publication. Some other items of interest on the Iowa State University website this week. The Science of Parenting blog for the month of May focuses, appropriately for this week, on mothers. With Mother's Day coming up this weekend, family life specialists are discussing what mothers mean to their children in the Science of Parenting blog from ISU Extension and Outreach family life specialists. Much beyond the Mother's Day cards and flowers, there's more to consider than the commercialized recognition of children's appreciation for their mothers. So they're taking a look at what science tells us about the importance of mothers, the types of mothers, the roles they play, and the benefits that mothers give to our children. They may even be including some lessons that they've learned from their own mothers, according to our family life specialists Donna Donald and Lori Hangs on campus. You can follow the Science of Parenting blog on the ISU Extension Families website. There is also a 5-minute podcast on the topic available. You can sign up for the Science of Parenting blog to get regular email updates on the topic. And you can also follow Science of Parenting on Twitter if you do Twitter. The scienceofparenting.org website is also another resource for folks where specialists discuss and share research-based information and resources to help parents rear their children from young children all the way up through teenagers. Parents can join the conversation anytime, share their thoughts and experiences, as well as how they personally handle their parenting responsibilities. And finally, one more story that has been up on the Iowa State University Extension website this week that may be of local interest. CIRIS, the Center for Industrial Research and Service at Iowa State University Extension and Outreach, has been working with a local manufacturer to increase their safety program. CIRIS project manager Jim Poe has been working with Environmental Health and Safety Coordinator at Mollett Engine Components in Atlantic to update their safety program, conduct a safety walkthrough to make sure there were no issues and concerns that the team was missing. This was done earlier this year, and if you want more information about that, there's a full article on the Iowa State University Extension website about the CIRIS project that was done at Mollett earlier this year. For more information on any of Iowa State University Extension resources, programs, or publications, feel free to give us a call, 243-1132. Stop by our office at 805 West 10th Street in Atlantic, or find us online at Cass County Iowa State University Extension. Till next time, I'm Kate Olson. Thanks.